What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
I mean, you're like fake hard. Like, you're actually a soft.
No, but I knew what type of cry it was gonna be.
Yeah.
It was gonna be the like.
What? Hit record on that?
Oh yeah, I hit record. Welcome back, guys, to the Cousin
Connection
podcast. Hey.
Loki, I always say it.
I was chewing up my strawberries
as you said that. Never gave me a warning.
Shout out to 13 Sons. New spot opened up.
Oh, yeah. Locally. It was so cute in there.
Ethiopian spot. We walked in and there was literally like a class going on.
Yeah.
For teaching people Amharic.
Mm-hmm. That's cute.
Yeah, they're going through the alphabet. I knew nothing about the alphabet. All
the
I heard
is.
I don't know the letters. Okay, maybe I should go and learn.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you should.
It's a free class every week.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Every Sunday.
Well, because we walked in and it looked like it was like a private event, so I was like, "Are we allowed in here?" And she's like, "Yeah, yeah." Are you guys Ethiopian? We're like, "Yeah." She's like, "Oh, are you here for the class?" I was like, "No." I was like, "Can I order food?" Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Oh yeah. This just happens every Sunday."
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cute.
So yeah, if you're Ethiopian and you know you need to brush up on your Amharic or you don't know any Amharic at all, they're starting from the alphabet, so you know you can check it out, 13 Sons. Mm-hmm.
But if you're not Ethiopian,
not
actually, if you're anybody, I would just recommend
I guess
going
so,
there.
Yeah.
The matcha is really good. If anyone knows me, I'm a snob when it comes to matcha. Like I'm not the type of person to like give back food when I don't like it at a restaurant.
Oh my god, I saw your story.
But
about
with matcha,
that.
Like I have to. I'm sorry. Like if I'm paying $7 to $10 for a matcha and it sucks, I'm giving it back. Like
I saw
it
this
is what it is.
Mm-hmm. On
$7 to $10 American, guys. Yeah, I know we paid like $7 here, but still.
Yeah. I saw this on a friend's story, and she said the strawberry matcha was 12 out of 10. So when I
it is very
got her
you didn't
the airport,
mix it though.
The straw is so weak.
Oh, I know. I had to switch to a plastic one. I found one I don't know how old this
honestly,
is.
Honestly, that's been like the biggest issue. First up, guys, my wife left me. You know, breaking the news here.
That was a weird pivot.
No.
Amir's in his feels. Okay, guys.
No, really, she left for some time so she can actually bring the rest of her stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm single again. And I'm like, but what I was saying.
You're so sick.
Don't be doing all that. Okay?
I'm playing. Hey, I'm just trying to get them clicks. But
oh my god,
what I was gonna say is that actually for my birthday, which actually also happened, we were looking for
32.
Hey, you don't have to say numbers, okay? I'm not one to reveal my age. Well. But in the process of trying to like put together something for my birthday, she was looking for utensils, and apparently in like 2023, last year, they came out with a law where they can't sell plastic utensils anymore.
Where
yeah,
have you been?
I actually no, I didn't know. I mean,
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, okay, yes,
that's
you,
acceptable.
But like,
am I ever going out to buy plastic utensils?
What do you mean? Every time we have something and we go out, like, did you not realize that all they have are those stupid wooden compostable forks and stuff?
I noticed it, but I thought it was like, you know how like stores are slowly switching to like the paper straws, like the ones you guys are struggling with right now.
Yeah,
but I didn't know that it was official. Like, you can't even get it in stores.
Yeah, they.
I wish they at least did like those biodegradable, like avocado seed. Like they kind of feel like plastic, but it's actually still sustainable. I feel like that's more sustainable than wood, low key, because it melts.
Some restaurants have those.
Okay, yeah, because and even in all of the stores, I'm like, there's no plastic. But you have to pay 35 cents.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy
if you want a bag, and then it's. I mean. It's fine, actually. The bag stuff doesn't bother me as much. It's just like if you don't live here.
No, if you come
annoying.
From an ethnic household, you know our moms will use those bags
exactly.
To death.
Exactly. That's the thing. We recycled them.
Yeah, we actually did. Everyone did. Mm-hmm. You reuse them for like the garbage cans.
Yeah, but you don't care about the paying for the bag thing until you forget your bag at home.
The reusable
bag.
Or right?
You're just like tired that day and you forget it in the car and you're like, I don't want to go all the way to the car to get another bag. And then you end up with like a closet full of paper bags.
They're like
bags
felt.
Or like felt bags.
They're like felt.
Is that what that, yeah, that, yeah, whatever that material
like,
is.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that creates more waste because people just end up collecting so many of them.
I feel like it five. Would low key because it's like, what if people just throw that out now?
Yeah. Like, does that biodegrade?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know.
How do you dispose of them?
I have no idea.
Felt? I'm sure it is probably recyclable at some in some way, right? The wood ones make sense. The wood one makes sense for sure because that one, you can just throw it and it'll, I don't know.
But I thought you could recycle plastic. Tree. I don't know.
It'll grow. It'll like turn into dirt tree. And turn into string.
Amir.
No.
Come
wait, now. It was an inside thing. It was from a couple days ago. We bought some ice cream. I stuck it in the ground. I said it's going to turn into a popsicle stick tree. You guys
your,
don't know.
Your okay. own inside joke?
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
I know, but I realize you guys aren't in on it, okay?
You know, Amir my has wife and I already jokes. Have
inside jokes, okay?
That's what it so is. So excited to say that. Amir became that guy.
But what was the point I was driving at? I completely forgot. I was talking about something.
We were just talking about the restaurant and how it had paper straws and we were annoyed by it. That's the only, that's a negative one actually from the matcha.
Yeah.
But no, the actual matcha is fire.
Oh, I broke the straw. I can't drink this anymore. Ah.
See, that's the thing. Like,
you can borrow
at least
when
make
I'm
a straw.
Literally.
That's useful.
Yeah. That's and what I'm like, saying. Like the bamboo ones or not the bamboo. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the bamboo ones mm-hmm. or the ones that feel like plastic, but they're biodegradable. Like, you know, the ones that have some texture to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love those ones.
They're like avocado seed.
I haven't seen those yet, but
they have them in like.
They I have those them. In California.
To be honest, they don't have those in Scarborough. They have those in downtown. Mm. So when I'm at work and I'm getting stuff, I'm like, ooh, they have the plastic ones, like the fake plastic.
That but that's the thing also about the plastic utensils. Apparently, it's less. You can't find it that much around the city.
Yeah.
But the further you go outside of the city, the more you'll find them. Because like they haven't updated as much yet, so you know it's about where you go.
Or they might just have like stock, like bulk inventory for plastic utensils that they bought before they went out of stock. Maybe.
Yeah, that could be a thing too.
Potentially.
Yeah,
be
I don't know how it works.
But I'm sure there's some place that have to sell them, right?
Exactly.
I don't know. I feel like it's
have you ever tried having a salad with a wooden fork?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it's literally.
Crazy.
I'd rather just eat with my hand.
And sorry, I know we keep talking about forks and spoons here, guys.
Some chopsticks.
The most like basic stuff.
At this point, just walk around with chopsticks.
I actually had a spare in my bag.
But the thing is, the forks are basically spoons because they have those little ridges. It looks like you know, think of like Bart Simpson's hair. That's how short. Does it not remind you of that?
Yeah, it doesn't really have much of like a insert.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you can't grab it. Much with it. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You have to scoop. It's a spork.
Yeah, pretty much it's a spork. Yeah, so it's useful. It's useless.
I know.
At that point.
But anyways.
Yeah, we're done. We're done with talking about that stuff.
We have a reoccurring guest, if you guys haven't already noticed.
Hello. It's been a while, though.
It has been a while.
I feel like I haven't been back since like Eid. Like the first Eid.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was the
What's
last time I was in
since
Toronto.
Then, Aisha, what's new?
Couple things.
Just a couple things.
Yeah.
We moved into a new LA apartment, so we're no longer in downtown. Which
I missed that
I
place
know,
already.
The downtown era has ended. Honestly, I loved living downtown until I didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, it was Fair. Great until we were finally like, okay, I think it's time to look for another place. And then suddenly everything about downtown started to annoy me.
Really?
Getting harassed by
I mean, I didn't really get harassed that much. It would happen occasionally. Not really harassed, but just like homeless people would like just yell things.
Yeah.
Which is like I was used to it. But for me it was the stench.
Yeah.
It was trying to avoid poop everywhere.
I used to think you were exaggerating until we came that day and
it's bad.
You know when we went for a walk in the morning?
Yeah.
And she literally warned us. She's like, just don't make eye contact with anyone. I'm like, girl, you're from Toronto. Don't be dramatic.
No.
But she wasn't lying. Mm-hmm. Like
imagine Cabbage Town.
Yeah.
Imagine Cabbage Town was a whole city. That's what downtown is.
It's a little scary. And Cabbage Town is a part of Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you aren't familiar.
I mean, I feel like the areas I took you guys were fine.
Yeah.
It can get a little scarier towards Skid Row, which Skid Row I lived like maybe 4 or 5 blocks away from. So it wasn't too, like I could see it from my apartment.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like everything started to annoy me with downtown. And I was just kind of like, you know what? I think we need something else. So we mm-hmm. found like a really nice townhouse in like a very low-key area, very mm-hmm. quiet, really cute. Like, it's more like residential, so it kind of feels like a suburb vibe, even though it's still kind of in like the city of LA.
Yeah.
We can like walk around and like, it's just nice. Honestly, everything about it, like, it's quiet. We don't even hear sirens. Like, it's just, it's amazing.
That's
honestly
one thing. You did always hear sirens.
Always, too. Always, always. Mm. So the first like week was like really funny because it was almost too quiet. We were like, where's it? And then like any creak we'd hear in the house, we'd be like,
what is that?
Yeah, because like our other place, like even though we were in downtown, which is like one of the most dangerous places to live in LA, we were on the 32nd floor. I can say that now. We were on the 32nd floor and it was like a security like building. There was a front desk and everything. So it's like, I was never nervous about that.
Yeah.
But now it's like, we're not on, like, we're just in a townhouse, so anyone can kind of walk up. But it's a safe area, alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, there's what else happened after that? Oh, my God. Okay, so we traveled to Turkey. What?
We're waiting for, like, the biggest.
Oh, Ami Kule.
Yeah, okay, there we go. I'm like, okay, sure, yeah, you went to Turkey. But get to the point.
Yes, I launched my first product. I brought it here, actually.
wait, which one is this, Sara?
It's the bottom one.
No. Oh.
There we go.
I can't even hear it. So I'm just like but yeah, I launched my very first product collaboration, and it's literally with my favorite brand ever. I have been such a rider for this brand for like I think they launched in 2021. And I just like instantly fell in love with the formulas. And then when I found out like the owner was also Muslim, she's from Senegal. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh my God, I love this brand even more. And I would always tell them about it, but like they could never try it. So like I would like anytime they would come over or I would come over, I'd like bring a few things. But they are actually available in Canada now, which is exciting. Yeah, they're at Sephora Canada.
I saw the comments being like, girl,
we're I know. But yeah, I launched it. It's called Happy. So that I could say happy looks good on you when someone's wearing it. And yeah, it was a really cool project. We've been working on it for like a year now. Mm-hmm. And basically the story was like, I went to New York last summer and the owner, Jara, she lives in New York. So I was like, oh, let's grab lunch. Mm-hmm. So we were like hanging out. It was our first time hanging out. Everything was really cool. And then towards the end of it, I just kind of like pitched her the idea. I was like, I have something to ask you. She's like, yeah, what's up? I was like, what do you think about a collaboration, like a product collaboration? And like, before I could even whip out my phone, because I had a whole pitch prepared.
Oh my God.
Like, and what's crazy is I had actually sat on this idea for like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. I had already prepared the pitch like deck and everything.
Yeah.
And I just like was waiting for the right time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So before I could even pull it up, she's like, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, what?
She seems like a really cool vibe, though.
She's really cool. She's like kind of around our age. She's like in her young or like, like early to mid 30s.
Yeah.
She has two kids. Like, she's just really cool. Born in Harlem.
Why did I think her name was Ami Kole?
So her mom's name is Ami.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah, it's short for like Aminatu.
Oh.
Yeah, so they call her Ami. And then actually she just had a daughter, so she named her daughter Ami.
Stop.
And it's so cute.
That's very cute.
I know, it's so, so cute. Cute. I'm assuming her mom's last name is Kole. I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we worked on it for like a year after that. It was a really interesting process because I've never like done anything like that.
Yeah.
So basically like my management team took over like all the negotiations of like how much the fees would be and like all of that kind of stuff. And then like in December is when they asked like what colors and stuff I wanted to do. I initially wanted to do a few more products, but we decided on just like the lip oil at first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then I got to like share exactly like what kind of color I wanted. So I showed them the full mood board, and then they like sent over a few lab samples.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of like mixed it all up to like see what I liked. And then I sent all my feedback back. That was in December. And then they sent a second round of lab samples in February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I had to like, you know, try it out. I tried on a couple different people to like see what color I wanted. I knew I wanted a peachy nude. And then, yeah, we decided on a color. And then a few months later, we had our photo shoot in New York, which was in May. And from the beginning, I knew I wanted to incorporate some sort of Hariri element into it. Because one thing that I actually really appreciate about Ami Kole is they like really full force, like, they're very proud of their Senegalese culture and like in a lot of their packaging and in their like imagery. They've shot campaigns in Senegal as well. That's for some of their products. Really cool. And the names of some of their products are like named after things in Senegal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I like really liked that. So I wanted to like incorporate Hariri elements into it, and they were so for it too. So I like worked with their like design team and came up with like a print for the inside of it. And
I'm
like
obsessed with it.
Yeah, loved it. I know. And for like the campaign shoots, like they made sure to have like Mott there and everything. Yeah. So we brought some from LA and it was just really cool. It was like such a cool experience. I'm glad that like I got to incorporate some of my culture into it too. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's available now at Sephora Canada or on omicole.com and also mm-hmm. just Sephora US. Mm-hmm. Inshallah, hopefully one day in stores. That would be amazing.
I know. Mm-hmm.
That'd be amazing. But yeah, it's been out for like a month now and it's been doing really, really well. They said it was like their best, what's it called? Their best launch like ever.
Really?
Yeah, like their most successful launch ever, which is like so great for me personally. But also to be able to support a small Muslim owned brand, black owned brand is really cool too. But yeah, mm-hmm. that's kind of what I've been up to.
Only took you 8 years to actually finally come
I
out
know.
Wait, how long has it been on YouTube?
13 years, but I was 16. 13
years?
Yeah, 2011.
Damn, I didn't
know. Started right here. It's where I feel. Actually, this exact place is where I filmed the first video.
Yeah.
Like this was the background, except it was blue.
I remember so that.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really proud of it. Mm-hmm. And.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
If you guys haven't tried it yet, make sure to shop happy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's kind of what was new. I went to Turkey. It's been a good summer, honestly.
Yeah. This year has been a lot of growth for, I think, everyone in the family.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then Amir's wedding.
Sada got a new car.
I know.
Got married. You came out with a new lip gloss. What did you call it? Lip gloss?
It's a lip oil. Yeah.
Lip oil. Yeah. What's the difference between lip gloss and lip oil?
Lip gloss is just like, it's glossy, it's pretty.
Yeah.
Lip oils usually have more like skincare ingredients in it. So it's like, there's like shea butter. There's like ingredients that actually help nourish your lips.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's been a year of growth, excitement, all of that. I feel like for everyone, 2024 has been
a very good year.
Alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Should we ask you what your reactions were to me getting married? I don't know. I feel like
you never
what
got
is it
her
from
thoughts?
Your perspective? Yeah, I don't think. Did I get your thoughts on that?
Not yet. Maybe not.
Well, you told me about Hanan early. Yeah, it was I think it was October.
It was literally like right after.
I knew you were talking to someone after Kubba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I wasn't sure if like it was still continuing or not. Mm-hmm. I think I was asking Sarah. She's like, I think he's still talking to her. It was kind of like, And then when I came in October, I think that's when you're like, I'm talking to this girl. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to Dallas. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let me meet her.
I forgot about that.
It was very early on. I think it was like a couple months in. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'm already going to Dallas. I was, what did I go for? I think I was just visiting, honestly.
Yeah.
Did I go for anything? I was visiting Siham. So it was a random trip. But I was like, give me her number. Scope her out. mm-hmm. But yeah, we went to, I think it was, I forget what it was, like one of those Yemeni coffee shops in Dallas.
The one that we went to for their.
It wasn't that exact one. It might have been the same brand, or it was called like Haraz, or I don't know. It was one of them. Mm-hmm. But we went and we were there for like maybe like an hour and a half to 2 hours, and just like talking, catching up.
Yeah,
you know, I was letting her know all the nitty gritty details of Amir to make sure she was ready. I'm just kidding. We were just like catching up, and she was telling me actually the same story she told on the podcast about like following the tutorial and stuff.
Yeah.
She's like, like I was following like your exact tutorial for like a wedding that I went to.
That's cute.
She was telling me all that.
Yeah. So you knew pretty early on. That's why.
I was happy. I mean,
what
I feel
like thoughts like day of. I mean, I know we placed bets. We're like, Amir is definitely gonna cry.
Oh, I knew Amir was gonna cry.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Amir, you're like, fake hard. Like you're actually a soft.
No, but I knew what type of cry it was gonna be.
It was gonna be
the like I'm uncomfortable, but I can't hold this back. So he was like laugh crying, and he was like, like he was trying to play it off.
And every so often, oh my god, can't believe I'm crying.
And it was like the overwhelming kind of cry where you're trying not to, but it just comes out anyways. I knew exactly. Like
You notice how he's just laughing. He's not even denying it right now.
Exactly. Yeah, I knew.
Like, it's not true. It's
We know you too well. Like,
I think like, I mean, yeah, I didn't have any like kind of crazy reaction. I feel like it was kind of like a finally moment. Like anytime someone was asking, I'm like, I know, finally. But I think also like I'm glad you took your time with it. Like I think you had a lot of growing to do.
Yeah.
And I think like you truly were ready.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like you weren't doing anything too early or too late. Like I think it was truly like the best time for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the day of. Yeah, I didn't really get emotional. I don't know why. I usually do get emotional.
I don't
but
get emotional like that, too.
I think the reason why I didn't get emotional was because I was sitting right across from my mom. And her emotions were enough for both of us.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, was. I was like, I was more scared.
I know exactly the moment you're talking about.
I was like getting emotional. Then it's like, you know, someone kind of
like, she took over. Both, at one point, we were like, oh, like, we were like kind of tearing up, but not really. Yeah. And then we just look at your mom and she's like, uh-oh, mama?
I was concerned.
I actually looked over. I saw her hands and like her face.
No, she was like hyperventilating.
No way.
Like we were scared. I was like, someone get us a tissue. And I was like fanning her. Like, I don't know what to do.
God. I did not see that.
No, part. she was like, so basically right when it happened, she's like.
Yeah.
And she was doing the thing where she can't like breathe at all.
Yeah.
So I think like that took over the emotion for me. Yeah. I was more like, yo, chill.
Yeah, I was like,
I love you, mommy.
Shoot, she having a panic attack.
You know, mothers and their sons.
I know.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, she never let out a single tear.
What?
For either of mine.
She was working hard, okay? She was putting it together.
Don't kill me. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that made me cry.
But it was very sweet.
I think also because the fact that she didn't have to put anything together, like she didn't have to organize too much.
Yeah.
So it lets you fully be in the moment.
I mean, she still organized a lot. On our end, because obviously like with Haredi traditions, like the family brings gifts and stuff, so she was doing stuff like that. But yeah, day of, she didn't really have to like take it.
I feel like you guys took over a lot of that stuff.
I honestly just showed up. Yeah. She did most of it.
Yeah. I did a lot of like the wrapping of all the like cookies and whatnot. That was done like beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But family kind of took over that as well. There's a lot of family like in Dallas kind of helping with that.
Honestly, this nikah was like the least stressed.
Yeah, I wasn't really like.
That's how I
mean, honestly,
it wasn't though. You. Shout out to Hanan.
Yeah, I think Hanan's family honestly just like took care of everything.
No, she's definitely like a super planner. Like she like gets everything down to the details. Mm-hmm. Like,
the food was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
it was nice. Honestly,
yeah it worked out perfectly. Alhamdulillah.
It was slightly overwhelming. Just like
there are a lot of people.
People.
I didn't think it was gonna. I think that's why I didn't get emotional. Was because I was like. Oh, it's a lot bigger.
It
than
was
I
a
thought
lot of people, yeah.
And you're probably approached by a lot of people.
A lot of people, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So it was like that part was a little. It was cool to meet all the people, but it was also like, yo, like I'm not this. They're the ones getting married. Yeah, exactly. Go take photos with them. But you know, it's always nice to like meet people.
Yeah, I forgot.
We had a little scuffle with a few, but
no,
it's okay. We don't need to get into it.
Oh, you didn't hear about that?
Not really a scuffle.
It
was
a scuffle.
I know. Should I even talk about it? I don't know.
It was just a misunderstanding, I think.
It was Okay, I want to actually say how I feel, but I don't want to. I don't want to ruffle any feathers.
Yeah,
but let's just say, like, there was a slight tint of entitlement with some of the people. Yeah, that, like, made me uncomfortable.
It's like those classic, like, celebrity things where people are like,
exactly,
feel like, you know, they not own you, but like, you, we deserve.
Yeah, like you owe them.
Yeah, like you,
like,
owe me
a certain reaction or like a certain amount of time or. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah, there was a lot of entitlement that made me kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. We move.
Yeah. I feel like that's when you know you're when you know you're a celebrity.
No, but that makes me uncomfortable because it's like.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it makes any person uncomfortable,
like, yeah, I feel like a lot of people who meet me, like, we're, like, really chill. Like, we're just talking. Yeah. We're, like, friends. Like, I feel like, well, I mean, obviously there's an aspect of, like, a parasocial relationship to it. Mm-hmm. But generally, like, most people are, like, very, like, respectful and, like, very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not saying they weren't, but they, like I said, there was just a little hint of entitlement in there, and let's just leave it at that. We'll keep it cute.
Yeah, but it's been a crazy, what is it, like, month now?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I don't know, time has been so weird. Mm-hmm. Like, remember we were talking about, like, routine and stuff, like, my routine is completely thrown out now that, like, Hanan will be gone for, like, maybe a month or so. I might fall back into some of those routines, but it's gonna be in a new area, so it might be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting adjusted to all of that.
It's gonna take a while, all over again when she comes back.
I know, exactly.
I think it's actually good that there's a little bit of a break, because now you can, like, settle into your, like, new life.
Mm-hmm.
And build those routines for yourself, and then she can just kind of, like, work into them, you know?
Yeah. And,
like, you don't really have to shift that much when she's here. You just, like, hey, mm-hmm. this is the time that I work out, or this is the time that I do this, and then we'll just, like, shift everything else around it.
Yeah, but I'm very much a person who's like, I want you to be involved. Mm-hmm. So I'm like,
oh,
if I'm working out, you're coming out, you're coming with me, right?
Yeah.
Like, if we're going to do cardio, you're doing cardio with me. But it might be different because it's going to be winter soon, right? And winter changes everything, too. Like, where you go. But now that, because our amenities are just so good at the place, like, I don't really have to go far out to get all the things I need. I just don't know what the area is going to be like in the winter, right? This area,
cold.
I know how it is. Yeah, exactly. But I know it's going to be cold because also right next to the lake. But, you know, our house, this place isn't super far from the lake. I don't know how much of a difference that would be, right? But there are things that I'm still up in the air. I don't know about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's okay.
That's fun, though.
Figure it out as the time goes.
Yeah. I like the fact that everything is walkable. I don't know if I've already mentioned that in previous episodes.
Yeah.
But, like, in our neighborhood, like, they have... First off, why don't we have Rabahs in the East End? Do you know what a Rabah is?
It's just the West End. Like, downtown slash
West End. Yeah, it's a downtown slash West End thing. Those things are, like, blessed because, like... Is they're open 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, they are.
And there's one literally right outside of our condo area.
Is
so,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing it.
Yeah, it's like right on the corner, right outside of it. Okay. So whenever we need something, you just go there, quickly get it. Like, oh, we ran out of, like, sour cream. That's an example of some recent example. You go there, 5 minutes, you're back with whatever you need. And they have, like, all the basics that you need, right? Even some things that, like, you normally don't think a place would like that would have.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's been fun getting, or interesting getting adjusted to. And then my birthday was on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out perfectly. And remember, there's actually, so these guys were trying to give me a surprise birthday thing.
Initially, yes.
Initially, it was supposed to be. But, like, I'm there. Like, I can see her texting.
No, I know.
It's going to happen.
Oh,
you saw the message?
I didn't think it was going to be a surprise. So I feel like I kind of, like, ruined parts of it. By accident?
But I kind of knew already that something was going to happen. I think she immediately told me. Like, I was like, oh, so are we doing something? And
so when I messaged you, I was like, oh, we should do something this weekend. You just played along?
But maybe I was literally thinking, like, Saturday, Sunday. I can't remember now.
Oh, because that...
What did I say?
You're like, yeah. Like, we'll do something on the weekend.
Oh, yeah. I might have been just playing along at that point. Because I didn't know if you thought still that it was a surprise. So I was like, I don't want to ruin it for Sada.
Well, okay. This is initially when we were, like, the three of us were talking about it. Did you see our messages come through?
One time I saw, I didn't see who was in the group, but I saw her, like, texting people about it. I was like, oh, okay.
Damn it. It's okay. It's fine. Because initially the plan was, like, we didn't know she was going to drop you off at work and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we were like, okay. I was like, just send him on a random errand. Like, send him to... his mom's house, and that way we can all show up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you come back, we'll all be there.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought was going to happen.
Send me to my mom's house from where we are?
Yeah, we were going to make up an excuse.
Mission.
Exactly. That's the point.
Oh, okay.
And then when I was messaging everyone to tell them to come, I was like, especially to the boys, because I know how the boys can be. I'm like, don't text Amir.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise. And then the day of, of course they were all calling me.
Yeah.
Like, how do I get into the place? I was like, it's not a surprise anymore. Just call me.
Yeah. It's fine though. I feel like
it worked out.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it was like my birthday, of course, but it was also more like a housewarming thing.
A little bit.
Because like that was the first time people were seeing my apartment, or you guys had already seen it.
Mm-hmm. It was my first time.
Oh yeah, it was your first time seeing it. But yeah. And when you guys were last there, we didn't have anything, right?
Yeah, not
so
yet.
So exactly. So at least we had something. We had somewhere people sit.
Yeah.
And it worked out perfectly, right? Like everyone was there. We were chilling.
It was a nice vibe.
Now it's just like, you know, we'll have a second house where we actually have stuff inside there in like a year.
Yeah.
Once our lease is up and we have to move out.
Then you're like, damn it. It wasn't as easy the first, or it wasn't like the first time you moved there, you didn't really have much. You're just packing up your clothes and showing
exactly,
up.
Exactly. Yeah.
The next time you have to move, you're going to hate your life.
I know. That's why I was always like thinking about, okay, like we're packing this. How easy will we get in and out of the place? Oh, what was that?
It's my phone.
Why does it sound? I hear like a dog barking.
No, I don't know what that was.
There was something going outside.
Okay.
Same time.
At the exact same moment.
Yeah, that was weird.
How does it feel to like finally be living on your own? Well, yeah, outside of the house.
That's the one thing I was going to mention. When I was driving here, there are a couple things I already miss about Scarborough.
What do you miss?
Like the fact that where we live now, we are now the minorities again. Like like POC wise.
Oh yeah.
I had a
POC
feeling.
Wise, we are now the minorities. So like it's weird, just like because you also get used to the amount of the people around you, right? Like there are people you've never interacted with, but you see them on the regular and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like now I'm in a foreign area where like I don't know anybody here. I don't know what the vibe of this place is. Like there's recently where I had like a Palestine shirt gifted to me and I was wearing that. And I was like, wait, out here might be a little different, you know? I don't know what the vibe is with these people around here, right?
That's true. Yeah.
And like, I think there was one point where I had a keffiyeh like on the back of my car, like just on the, so anyone could see it from the back window. And I was thinking like, you know, it might be more, a little more dangerous driving around here with this on. But you're not, you know
what? You have to be a little more hyper aware of
exactly,
your surroundings.
Exactly. But I was still, you know, holding out there. I didn't care. But out here, like, it's more multicultural for you. Immediately recognize it especially when you're out of it for a long time, or just even for a week.
Yeah,
you notice it immediately how you're no longer the minority. That's one thing, but also just like it's a different vibe. Everything seems a little bit slower out here. I don't know what it is.
Really? Oh, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Like there are more people on the streets. Just because of the area we're in.
There's a lot of people like walking
with
their kids or riding bikes. It's just a lot of like movement. But I kind of, I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. Exactly. Yeah. I like that too. Also, because now we're in a condo versus
a house,
interacting with neighbors, the highest like area of interaction would be in your elevator.
Yeah.
But the thing about our elevator is that I think in every time I've taken it, I've probably met someone like 5 to 10% of the time. It's always empty.
Do you want the?
But that's because I'm also in a place where it's like more elderly people, so that made me make sense.
Really?
Yeah. Like I've interacted with more people like at 6 a.m. in the morning than I have at 4:30 when you think that's like rush hour time. No one coming in and out. It's like, oh, are you trying to? Because you couldn't drink it this whole time, so it got warm. It's not even gonna taste the same.
No, it's still gonna be
all the sweetness. And then everything that was going to be inside of it.
The straw, like, broke in half. Because this part was, like, squished.
Paper straw, guys. Paper straws.
F the turtles.
Yeah, F the turtles.
Not the turtles. Snapping turla.
But, yeah, I'm definitely feeling it.
But I feel like, you know, the lower part that you were showing me the first day I came over, there's, like, people there during the day.
That's if you go there, yeah. Like, out here. Also, the one thing I miss is that you can't just, like, step outside and go outside. Like, you have to go in an elevator, which, thankfully, our building, like, takes, like, 2 seconds to get down. So it's not that much of a barrier.
It's quick.
But still, you know, it's different than being able to just step outside, right?
It's also not, like, I noticed your place is not as scary. Like, one of my biggest fears when I move out is, like, I'm terrified of elevators. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, like, the...
Really?
Not, like, I'm not afraid of elevators getting stuck.
Like, interaction with people?
Not even that. It's just, like, I just feel unsafe a lot of times.
Really?
Like, every time we leave Nabat's place, if I'm there by myself, I'm like, I'm so scared. I have to go down all the way.
I guess her parking garage
is, like, it's not creepy, but it's just, like, when you're by yourself, like, literally a serial killer could just pop up anywhere.
Thankfully, the security in our place is amazing.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah, they're so nice.
They're on
yeah,
it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they always say like hi and stuff.
Yeah, and they're always there. Like this. Someone there 24/7.
Yeah.
And they have cameras everywhere, right? They have in the elevator, they have in the hallways. So you at least know that someone is watching at some point, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. I always feel the opposite. I feel like safer in apartments than I do like in houses. I'm like, anyone can just walk up to your window.
Yeah, like she mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like
in an apartment, it's actually really hard to like.
Actually, speaking of.
What?
Remember the story I told you at your house on Friday? About what happened to my dad at my house?
No.
Oh, yeah. I was listening. Yeah. I was sleeping, but I was listening.
Yeah, like, so, okay, now I'm just proving your point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But basically, this was last weekend, and I was taking a nap, mm-hmm. but I was still, like, I could still hear, right? Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, and it's just my dad home, my mom wasn't home, and I hear, like, yo, 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 but it was, like, a voice I didn't recognize. So I'm like, who the F is that? So I'm like, who's at my door? But I heard the voice like in the house. So I'm like, who the hell is that? So I quickly like pull up my phone and I pull up the Ring camera mm-hmm. to see like, mm-hmm. like, can I see who that was? And I can see like a body, but like I didn't see his face yet. Right. And then I hear my dad saying like, you got the wrong house, buddy. And then he's like, what? then I hear them like laughing. And then they're talking about like how the houses on the street all look the same. Mm-hmm. And then I see the man with my I think it was like my Sephora package with the lip gloss.
Oh my God.
He had it in his hand to like give to the whoever he thought he was going to visit. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I was supposed to go to like X number house and I ended up coming in here. He's like, literally, they look the same. They don't. They look very different.
And that's where I was telling Sarah, there's no way this guy's just a contractor.
He was allegedly a contractor.
This guy was coming for a booty call.
In the middle of the day?
Yeah.
That's
crazy. You know why I said that? Because who's familiar enough, which contractor is familiar enough to walk into the house saying, yo, 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 and also carrying the package that you just got delivered? Usually if a contractor comes, first thing they do is knock on the door.
Right.
And like, you know, say what they're there for. Nobody just walks into a house, says, yo, 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 with their package in hand.
Yeah.
And right? I know the house that he was trying to go to. Mm-hmm. They're not the yo, yo, yo type. But see? The one their neighbors are.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
Mm-hmm. It's so random.
A little sus.
Exactly. So anyone can just walk in your house if you live in a house.
Granted, my mom left the door unlocked, so that's her fault, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to give the like 1 point to the apartment thing, or maybe a negative point to the apartment thing, we had another story of one of our other cousins, Anwar, who mentioned that there are multiple instances where he'll he'll go to his apartment, and sometimes he won't see like, or he won't check which number floor. He's getting off at, and he'll get off and he'll walk to the exact same place where his door is and try and open the door and start like putting his keys in it.
I've done that before.
Yeah.
But he's done like multiple times.
Wait, Anwar moved out?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
oh what? Yeah. That's crazy.
And he has two cats.
What?
Yeah. Oh,
he took both?
No.
He bought his own cats?
He has he took like the other one. The gray one, and then he got another kid.
Oh, wow. Did he take the gray one?
Yeah, Bella?
Yeah.
Yeah, now he has another Cheeto or Bruce, or he has two names, I don't know. But this little orange cat.
He moved out? That's crazy.
I know.
But yeah, I've done that before.
See? So that's another thing.
Yeah.
Like, how about if you're in the house, you just hear someone like trying to get in with their keys?
Yeah. Well, I lived in Koreatown. I went in and I was like, why is this door not opening? Mm-hmm. And I feel like I heard someone be like, huh? And I was like, and I look at the number, I was like, oh, shoot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah, what's scarier? Number? What's scarier? Like, someone trying that and immediately running away to go get out of here?
He's done that.
And, like, you're looking at your, like, you know, your hole in the mirror, and you see someone running.
Didn't that happen? Remember that time when we visited you in 2020? And there was, like, a house party or something? Maybe this is, like, a dream.
What?
But I'm not even joking. There was a house party, and then people were trying to get into your apartment. And we were watching them through the peephole. Don't you remember? And they were so loud.
I think I remember that. But also, I've had someone walk into my
room. See?
Which was actually scary because they had a dog. And I think my mom was there. And it was a big dog, too.
I know. She screamed.
So all of a sudden, there's this big dog just like walking into my house.
Oh, my God.
No leash, right?
No leash.
Oh, shoot.
And then he's like walking in. And I was like, excuse me. He was confused and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh my God.
He went out. I don't remember like the context of what was going on or why my door, maybe like I was about to throw out the garbage or something. So yeah, maybe. It does happen a lot actually. Yeah.
But at least you know they're sort of vetted because they are in your apartment building.
Yeah, exactly.
But then again, anyone can have an apartment.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you do have to just make sure it's locked. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we just destroyed both.
Yeah. Either way, lock them doors. People.
Exactly. But they lock them doors and keep them locked. They're low.
But yeah, living away from the house now, or moving out of the house. Oh my God, why did I say like
that? What's one thing that you've you miss and one thing that you've learned since being out?
One thing I miss? Well, those things I mentioned that I miss, like the fact that I can just step out of the house.
No, like being at home, in this home. You don't miss anything about being in this home?
You know, having your parents there definitely is a big thing. Like being in the house specifically itself, I could live the way that I lived here in the apartment the exact same. I didn't really need much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. There are actually things that are perks of the building, mm-hmm. like having those amenities, like the full gym and I don't even use it yet, but the pool or like the access to like a walkable park are positives. Right.
Yeah.
But the main thing that I miss here is like, of course, having the family there, but also things outside, like, I know I just mentioned things outside, but like, you know, seeing people on the streets.
I was going to say
more neighborhood vibe.
You're like the whole strip of food that you have. Like
what strip of food?
Like it's like I forgot to mention that. It's like your favorite spot.
The biggest, one of the biggest things. Mm-hmm. We have an Adonis like
halal food option.
Oh, really?
Basically. Yeah.
Oh.
It's like 10 minutes down the street.
Oh, that's not bad.
The thing that's actually, I don't know if this gives away where I am, but a big positive is that I'm not far from like Sherway Gardens. The mall, and it maybe even a little bit further away is like Square One. So I have two big malls near me, and across the street from that mall is a lot of like food places. Like there's Walmart, Best Buy, you know, your basic spots.
So you still kind of have that.
Yeah, I have all of those. There's like a Nando's there too.
Okay.
If I want like some quick, healthy eats or whatever.
That's the thing though. Toronto like is depending. Actually, no matter where you live, it's built very well.
Yeah.
Like there's always some sort of like. Something walkable.
Yeah. Depending, there are certain.
I would
spots
say aside
where
from where you
desert.
Live, actually.
Yeah.
Now like that I think about it.
If you live outside of the GTA, like outside of the highways, basically.
I guess.
Like outside of the.
No, I'm on the 401.
Hmm?
I'm on the 401.
You're right outside of it, though.
What do you mean?
Right you're above it. Anything below the highway, I feel like it has a lot of like.
Like the urban planning
places
is really
that are close
good.
To it. Yeah, the urban planning is a little bit better.
Yeah, like the closest, like the Walmart, the no, like. Technically I could walk to it.
No,
but it's gonna take me
walking
like 30
means
minutes.
Like
35 minutes.
Walking means like maximum 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, like a quick walk. Like to run an errand.
Nah.
Yeah.
You'd be sprinting to get there.
Yeah,
that
maybe
time.
A bike. A bike, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, that's the one big positive. Like, things are very close. I have like an IKEA like 5 minutes away, Costco another 5 minutes away. So the one thing is we really lucked out in the area.
Yeah.
So those
are
big
in a
positives.
Great area.
The only thing though. Is that because I mentioned the whole minority thing, you know, a lot more NGH over there, there's not many halal options.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the halal options are very limited.
Yeah.
So, that the having this area right up the street from here is definitely, like, something I miss.
Yeah.
Being able to just get whatever I want. But there are options, but I still need to get used to the area to find out where they are.
Worst case scenario, I was going to say, since we still come here to film.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Just buy your chicken and stuff in bulk.
And honestly, that might even be a positive. It'll, like, limit me from actually going out to eat as much. Even though I didn't really go out to eat that much before. I think it went out once, twice a week max.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was usually on the weekend. And usually on the weekend, I'll be on the east side anyway. So it might still be the same, honestly. I'll be less tempted to do it during the week if I ever do get that hungering or that hankering. Hankering?
Hungry.
Craving?
Craving. Hankering works too, does it not?
Hankering?
Yeah, like you have a hankering for something. Come
I've
on, search
never
it.
Heard
search
that
it.
Word.
My phone's
that's
being used.
Not a
shoot.
Word.
Search up hankering. Yeah.
Hankering?
Is it not?
I don't think that's a word, Amir. I'll be surprised.
Search
it
up.
It is.
She's searching up right now.
It's literally, it says hanging.
No, hankering.
Mean?
Hankering.
Oh.
Like hankering. Let me see. Come on.
Oh.
It is a word.
I have to do something.
What?
A strong desire to have to do or do something.
I know English, y'all. It's them. Okay.
It's just not a commonly used word.
I just noticed the ice.
Oh, yeah. It's the ghetto film.
Way to cool it down.
Yo,
okay,
that's
it's
the so hot in here. Thing I've ever seen.
It we gets have really hot.
That actually helps.
Yeah.
Wow.
Otherwise, it'll shut off. It'll say it's
like
too
with
hot.
That. It will almost I've record forever. I've never seen that,
guys. There's literally an ice pack on the camera. Mm-hmm. Like a Ziploc of ice on the camera.
I think they've seen. I don't know if I've cut it out all the time, but there are a couple times where the ice pack falls off.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Like, yeah, it'll just slip, and then the whole camera falls forward.
Yeah. So I don't know. I can't remember if I've kept those in.
Does the condensation not mess with the camera?
No, not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not yet.
Yeah, not yet. Exactly.
That's why there's a Ziploc bag different. Though.
But yeah. Like the condensation.
No, this Ziploc bag is not the one I normally use. The one I normally use is a lot bigger and thicker, so it doesn't have that much condensation. I just couldn't find it, so I had to use this today. So we'll see how it does. We'll see how it does.
Everyone keeps telling us to get a fan. We're working on it. We're looking for a silent fan so it doesn't impact
the
sound quality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
Because even the wind itself can affect the audio. Even though we're not using the audio from the cameras, it helps with syncing and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What Amir said. Personally, I was like, I thought these mics were good. They wouldn't pick up a fan. But then I got what you meant. It's because you're talking about that.
Exactly. Yeah. What is that?
Someone's doing some kind
of... If it went any longer, I was going to start making a beat. And renovation. I was going to be like, you know, black people always make a beat out of anything.
Nah, I can't.
That's not
he's not going with it.
Yeah, he's doing it in sync.
Let's get back into the actual topics you want to talk about.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. This was something I sent to Amir during the week. I don't know if you saw it, but there was that Somali guy who was in Quebec who... was getting arrested by the police, and I think it was Quebec City.
Yeah, it was definitely in Quebec. I know that because the guy, he was like a Somali guy, but
brutality exists.
What happened?
Too.
Why did they stop him again? Did they say?
It was Labor Day weekend. He claims that he was racially profiled.
Read it. Read it with some passion.
Okay.
Read it like a news anchor.
Okay, one second. Let me get the story.
Read it like you mean it.
I'm finding
read it
story.
Like it's breaking news.
I'm here. Oh. I don't know how to. I'm gonna butcher this. Anyways, police in Laval, I was gonna say Quebec, say officers were following protocol after videos surfaced of police violently arresting a tourist from Toronto over Labor Day weekend. Guled Omar was in Laval, just north of Montreal, to celebrate a work anniversary with friends and family on September 1st. When the incident began and the couple, with a couple of Laval police officers. We wanted to see Montreal, he said. We're actually planning to go to Taco Fest just to enjoy the long weekend over there. Omar, who is black, says that he was in his rental car with his cousins when a police cruiser, black people can't read.
Can I read?
Okay, let me see you better.
No, look. Okay. This is a very serious topic, by the way.
I know. Stop making me laugh.
The cruiser kept driving as Omar and his passengers made their way towards the lounge. They were about 6 meters from the vehicle when the cruiser spun around and came back in their direction, according to Omar. They drove onto the curb and they started yelling, Omar said. They said, get back into the car. Omar said he asked the officers a number of times why they were detaining.
See, we even knew that word.
Give me it. Oh my god.
Where'd she stop?
Omar said he asked the officers a number of times why they were detaining him. And the third time that I replied, he gave me a stiff arm push to my shoulder and my chest, and I was confused, he explained. I said, don't touch me. I know my rights. And that kind of set him off. Omar said the officer and his partner threw him to the ground. They punched me in my groin area about 3 times directly. They pepper sprayed me, he said. They're beating me up for about 10 to 15 minutes, but the first two officers initially that were there were beating me up for 5-6 minutes, and then their backup arrived. The incident was caught on camera by his cousin and by others who arrived at the scene. You would think that when more police officers came into the scene, the situation would die down and, like, it went way worse, Omar said. These guys put a spit bag over my head, they sprayed it inside, and they started suffocating me, like putting it over my nose and my mouth, while there was a knee on my neck putting 2 fingers on my jugular.
Oh my God.
And I'm constantly saying, I can't breathe, guys. In the video, more than a dozen officers arrived at the scene, which was around when Omar said he felt his life flash before his eyes. Mm-hmm. I actually thought I was going to die, and I was so helpless, he said. After the in- After the incident came to an end, Omar was taken to hospital by paramedics for treatment. He was also given a pair of tickets by police for not presenting his driver's license, insurance, or ownership. In a statement issued to Global News on Tuesday, Laval police said that the officers were patrolling in the area when they saw the vehicle and the officers intercepted it to check the driver's ability to operate the vehicle. The individual who was intercepted refused to cooperate with police and resisted, forcing them to use a continuum of force. On Wednesday morning, a spokesperson told Global News that the officers involved would not face any suspension in connection with the incident. After analysis, the police officers acted in compliance with the formative teachings. The officers are not suspended, the spokesperson said. I reiterate that a gradation.
Let me see.
I think this is more of just a test of our English knowledge, or like if we can even.
I've never heard that word.
Let me see it.
Gradation.
A gradation of the use of force.
Basically, they were trying to say
trying
it was
to grade
justified.
The use of force.
Oh yeah.
Okay, that's what it is.
Basically, they were trying to justify the use of force.
Yeah, I think everybody gets the story. Yeah. This is like a classic.
That's
case
crazy.
Have you seen
of
the video?
Police brutality. I saw the video where they had him on his back, and I didn't know how far it would go. So I just like didn't watch the whole thing.
I saw it on like a few people's story, mm-hmm. and I was like, where is this? And then I saw that it was happening in Quebec, and mm-hmm. I'm like, oh wait, what? So I actually sat there and I watched it, mm-hmm. and it was so like, and then when I realized that he was also like Somali, I was like, oh my God, not our own people.
No, but it doesn't matter who it is.
Like, I know it doesn't matter who it is, but it was just like, I didn't think that happened. Like I've never seen it. Like
it happens
that here.
Like, wasn't there a case recently in Toronto? I don't know. Maybe it was this year or last year, where there was a person who was known to be mentally ill.
Oh yeah.
And the police officers, or not police, the family actually called the police because they're like, oh, they're going through an episode. So they're like, can you come and like mm-hmm. yeah, at least call the mental health police or something like that to help them get out of the house? Mm-hmm. And they ended up actually killing that person.
Yeah, that was here.
Yeah, that was.
Wasn't
here
he
too.
Somali as well?
No, like, I think they're South East Asian.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. or not East Asian, South Asian. Mm-hmm. But that's also a case where, like, police just, it's basically, at this point.
Police don't know how to de-escalate
yeah,
situations.
Yeah, they don't know how to de-escalate. Yeah. They only know how to escalate a situation, mm-hmm. right?
But I also feel like, and maybe they already do this, but it needs to be, like, reinforced, but, like, a strong psych evaluation. Because I feel like some of these police officers have some sort of like power complex, maybe.
For sure. Like they were bullied growing up or like feel like narcissists.
Like I feel like police officers,
I don't think it's that deep.
No. They like,
I think
although
is.
You need the ability to be like stern mm-hmm. and like, you know, really just like lay down the law if you need to. Mm-hmm. I think they also need that nurturing, compassionate side because essentially your job is to serve and protect, as it says on your uniforms, mm-hmm. on your cars. Yeah. And if people fear you, then who are you protecting? Mm-hmm.
But I think that also that goes back to, there's many reasons for why these people are still allowed to have jobs. Is because like first off is like who is gonna apply to become an officer at that point? Like if your quality control is that thorough, like your pool is gonna be a lot smaller, which might actually be a positive thing for a lot of people because people say there are actually too many police, but then. I don't know, what's the relation, like, the amount of police on the street and the amount of crime that's happening? There are people who are trying to make that connection as well. Or because, like, there are things that, like, are necessarily, like, there's a case of, like, over-policing. Yeah. Where, like, the reason that the crime numbers seem so high is because the police are over-policing. And they're, like, they're arresting people for, like, miscellaneous and, like, small reasons that make no sense just because they're on a power trip at the time, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So, there's also the fact that, like, in Canada, I believe you have to have a degree or, is like, you have to actually go to school to become an officer. It's not like in America, which is why maybe it's not as severe as it is in America. Because over here, you have to have, I think, either a university degree or a college degree. Or you have to go through some type of degree course to become an officer.
Yeah, it might be college. But also, like...
But that doesn't... That also goes back to the point that I was trying to make, was like, I don't think it's that deep in that where these people have that narcissistic tendency inside of them. I think it's more of just like when you give someone uncontrolled or unfettered power. Is that how they say it? There's another word there that I don't know if I'm using correctly, but I'm probably am because I usually am right. But
That's so unnecessary. Just make your damn point, okay?
I'm playing. But when you give people any sense of power or control, like where it almost can't be checked, eventually that person, no matter how good they are, they tend to push the limits of that.
That's true.
Hence, they can, like annual psych
almost feel intoxicated by that power.
Yeah. Isn't that, there was like a study done on kids that was similar to that. Mm-hmm. It's like half of you guys will be the cops, the other half will be like civilians or something, the college students.
Yeah. I forget what the name of it is.
The Stanford one?
I forget exactly what it was. But mm-hmm. yeah, it proved that like...
Yeah. Like these guys were friends in that study. Mm-hmm. Like these guys were friends. They knew each other. They're all colleagues in the same grade, same school. But once... half of them were given power and the other ones were made to be not civilians, but like prisoners.
Yeah.
Like there's something clicked or something shifted in their mindset. And over time they started finding that they were like torturing these people mm-hmm. and like treating them poorly, almost like bringing them to the verge of death. So there's, you know, that's why I don't think that, there are those people inside the force that are like that, that do have those tendencies, but I don't think that's the main reason why, because there are how many cops there that pulled up, right? Are you saying that every single cop that pulled up there had that same issue mindset?
They see completely different stories, though, when they arrive versus who was actually on scene at the time, you know? Mm-hmm. When they come, they're just seeing someone who looks like they're frazzled.
That's also playing a part into it, right?
Yeah.
Not only the fact that there's someone frazzled, what their skin tone is, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they can't, a lot of times
it's nighttime, like, it's just a lot that will, like, paint a story mm-hmm. differently.
Yeah, and then if you wanted to give, not sympathy, but, like, see maybe a little, understand some of their perspective. Maybe this cop came from, like, a double murder. It's a crime scene, right? He came from, like, a high-stakes break-in, like, where... not break in, but like a domestic abuse case where like they had to like physically restrain someone, right? They're already like heightened. Their adrenaline is already high and then they find themselves in this case. I don't want to make any excuses for them, but like these are the different cases that you're dealing with. And
yeah, but you know how like technically in North America the justice system always says you're innocent until proven guilty. Mm-hmm. I feel like with police, their mentality is now you're guilty until we see otherwise. Exactly. Like they always show up with their defenses already.
Yeah,
up.
Exactly.
They give you attitude and like
they just saw a car full of black people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like there, it wasn't like the, like he, according to the story, the news report, like mm-hmm. the main guy was saying that they approached the car and then told him get back in the car. Mm-hmm. Like there wasn't like a, hi, let's see your license and registration. It wasn't like a cordial exchange. It was just like immediately defensive.
Aggressive, yeah.
And aggressive, yeah. And like, you know, sometimes like you'll even hear like in Toronto, no matter how multicultural we are, if you get stopped by the police, sometimes they have that like stank attitude for mm-hmm. no reason. And you're like, dude, just give me, if you're going to give me a ticket for whatever it is, just give it to me. You don't have to like be unnecessarily like rude or just disrespectful. You know what I mean?
They like, just play the role a little too hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it's.
But I always try and wonder, like, how do you get past that? Like, this person, okay, the police, they do have, like, a very high-stakes job. Like, there is still a danger to the job because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, they don't know who they're dealing with, right? They could be dealing with a person like you who's, like, the most innocent person, you know, like, not going to do anything, not going to act up or anything like that. But they don't know that because they've never met you. And then there could be someone who looks exactly like you but is, like, I don't know, hiding a knife under their pocket or their pants or whatever and is ready to attack anyone who tries to give them some type of pushback.
Yeah, which is why I was saying, like, yes, they have to have that ability to be, like, stern and, like, not a poker face, but, like, you know, basically be able to protect if they need to. Mm-hmm. But if there's, like, zero compassion, zero empathy,
yeah,
like, you're just, like, stone cold, you're immediately defensive, you're immediately, like, mm-hmm. disrespectful, then like how are you actually protecting us?
Exactly. Yeah,
you know,
it's all about learning de-escalation techniques, but I think that a lot of their training teaches them
escalation,
not escalation, but what to do in a high stakes situation. But if you're only taught how to react in a high stakes situation and not how to de-escalate things, mm-hmm. then you're always going to react like it's a high stakes situation, even though it could be a simple like I don't want to do what you want to, like what you're telling me to do. Then like their pride gets in and they immediately think, oh, the worst case scenario, just like
detain them
in the most efficient, not efficient, but like fastest way you can. And the fast way they think they can detain someone is by throwing them to the floor and like breaking their arms to get it behind them.
Yeah.
But so, like beating up for 15 minutes is crazy. Mm-hmm. That's like unnecessary. But
even like suffocating him with the bag. Yeah, like
why is there a bag over his head?
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Like what?
That's yeah. actually insane.
That just, and I mean, it's important to know that this is also in Quebec, and Quebec is like known for being racist. Exactly. So.
Yeah.
There's multiple layers, mm-hmm. but inshallah, you know, he's Omar is okay.
Yeah, he had an interview. He did the interview.
Oh, he. So yeah. Oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
I think he's back now.
Okay, that's like good. In Toronto. That's good.
But it was still. Like, it's not something we are surprised by.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
The only thing that's maybe surprising about it is the fact that it happened in Canada. Mm-hmm. But we also have, of course, it doesn't happen as much. Maybe because it's not filmed as much here. I don't know why we don't see it as much. But
well, there's still, less of a population in Canada.
Oh, yeah, that too. Just the population-wise, it's a numbers game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's surprising when we see it here. But I think it happens more often than we think it does. It's just that possibly. It's not filmed as much here, or like maybe like the numbers situation is just not that many people to have it happen as often. But if you scale it, maybe it does happen just as much as it happens in America.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just not as publicized, right? Like I also feel like American news is like, I don't know, I feel differently about American news versus Canadian news. But
yeah, like one thing actually I forgot to mention is that yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw it, but we were at the community center, the Musalla, and right outside of it, we saw some cops like stopping like this really tall black man, right? First, it was one cop car, he was blocking his car. It was in the parking lot though. He was already parked. He was standing up and it looked like they were having some conversation. There was also a woman there who was standing outside of the car. She was white though. And
oh, you know what?
What?
Actually, I saw the police pulling in.
Yeah, so
earlier, but I didn't.
Well,
think
it was one cop at first.
Yeah,
and he was standing out there, and he seemed like he was talking to him. And then I saw another police car pull up. It's like two more cops pull out of that one, and I saw another one pull up. Literally within 10 minutes, there were 12 cops.
What?
Surrounding Why? This thing.
Yeah.
No, they're Why? Bored at this
there
point.
There were a lot.
They're bored.
They surrounded this vehicle. And then I saw as things were going on, thankfully nothing seemed to escalate, but they started like searching the car. The thing is, I don't have context of what was happening here. It could be an actual case. I could see at one point that like the officer was checking. It looked like he was checking the VIN number on the car because he was checking the front of the windshield area. So maybe it was reported stolen or something. But yeah, like just that situation itself, you can see within a second how that could flip, right?
Yeah,
if that guy made a movement a little too quick, I feel like it would have been no question that guy would have been on the floor within a second, right?
Yeah.
So, these things do happen out here. There's probably not reported. Like, I could have been that guy. I could have been the one. I literally was telling him, I was like, should I just go across and start being that guy who just films it to see what goes on? But thankfully, nothing happened, so we kind of just let it be.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's things. Situations like this always happening. It's just a matter of, you know, reporting on it.
Like I'm just thinking, because you guys remember when we were in Portugal and then we got pulled over that one time?
Oh yeah.
And obviously like we're three black people in Portugal in the middle of the night. It's like 3 a.m or something crazy like that. And some other Portuguese man just complained to the cops about us. So I was like scared shitless. I was actually like, oh my god, we're gonna get arrested. Like I was actually scared. And then having my cousin Iman, who was just like, go get them, and she was like screaming, and I'm like, stop, like is she okay?
What was that? I think she's good. Yeah.
Okay. But like, you know, like I genuinely didn't know what was gonna happen. And I was thinking like worst case scenario, like, okay, who are we gonna call? Like, what do we do? How are we gonna get out of this mess?
Oh, sorry, you can hear that. My bad.
And so like I can only imagine, like, I feel like Americans have it ingrained in terms of, like, if they were to get pulled over, how to act. We just, like, all I said to the girls was when the cops pulled us over, I was like, guys, just, like, stay calm, and we're just going to explain what happened. And I felt so bad. Nabat just, like, immediately started saying, like, I'm sorry. And the cop was trying to say was, like, what language do you guys speak? And we're like, English. Do you speak English? And he's like, yes. So we explained to him. She's like, look, we're not from here. I was just trying to turn, and then I didn't see the guy getting off of the highway, and then I almost hit him, and then he was like yelling at us in Portuguese, but we don't understand Portuguese, and he's like, oh, and he's like, honestly, he was saying you guys were drunk, but he's like, looking at you now, I don't think you drink, which, like, educated king, we love to see it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, no, like, we don't drink. He's like, okay. He's like, I don't think you guys are intoxicated at all. Don't worry about it. I think it was a misunderstanding. Just be safe. He's like, do you want us to, like, escort you? Do you know your way? And we're like, oh, we have GPS. We were just, service issues. He's like, okay, mm-hmm. have a good night. Like, that's respectful. I feel like if I was in like Alabama and I got pulled over, y'all would never see me again.
Oh yeah. There are stories like that for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's scary.
Yeah. You know, that's why I'm saying, man, of Canada, we have our flaws, but I would not take a chance with police there versus ones here
mm-hmm. in the States.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Because also there's that, you know, talking about is not real Palestine. Mm. Police forces in America. Mm. Guess who they're trained by?
That's true.
Are they?
Yeah. They're trained by the IDF. Mm-hmm.
So, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So that's the reason. That's why a lot of their tactics seem very similar. The specifically even the George Floyd situation.
Yeah.
That technique of putting the knee on the neck is taught by the IDF.
What?
Mm-hmm. So crazy. A lot of these like very...
I didn't know that.
Yeah. These like very like physical or what do you call them? Aggressive tactics are taught by them, which is why you see a lot of similarities between mm-hmm. how they treat citizens. Hmm. It's crazy. But it's all connected, man. One good news to mention here is I heard that the is not real economy might not be what it is anymore and might actually be not be here in a couple years. Or at least it might not be. It definitely isn't what it used to be.
Like businesses dropping.
Businesses dropping out. I think they lost. I need to pull up the actual full numbers, but I can't. I wish I noted down. Also, my phone's over there, but they lost like 40,000 businesses, or like thousands of businesses have left or shut down.
Yeah, well, because it's an unstable like political situation, so business wise it's like it doesn't make sense to even take that risk that something will happen.
Mm-hmm. Actually, might as well just pull out. Companies not saying that like that risk doesn't make sense anymore. Intel, they recently lost like a $5 billion investment.
I thought it was more than that.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe even more than that. But they lost because Intel had a huge plant and that just almost not destroyed, but
it's like, a huge chunk
of their economy, right?
Yeah.
It also says one thing that like there's a lot of people who are leaving. Mm-hmm. And the fact that these people even have a place to go to or a place to leave to, a high percentage of their population has a place to go back to, mm-hmm. already shows you like how, first off, how little they really cared for the land. And really, they just cared more for, like, the opportunity of having a place that they could go to mm-hmm. for free and, like, have all these benefits to go there.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, a lot of those that lived there or that moved there, that settled there, whatever you mm-hmm. want to, whatever term you want to use.
Illegally.
I don't think they all represent the same ideologies of the IDF. I think they definitely were reaping the benefits of mm-hmm. maybe being of Israeli descent.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they were really understanding the impacts that them illegally settling in that land, mm-hmm. the impacts it had on the Palestinian people.
Well, I think majority do.
Yeah, I think majority do.
But I also think that there's some people who are waking up like, ooh, like I actually didn't.
Mm-hmm. And there are videos of like teenagers who have refused to, because going into the Israeli is not real army is actually, I think it's mandatory, yeah. right?
Mandatory.
And there are teenagers who are willing to go to jail to not partake in that.
Yeah.
Right? So there are people there who are waking up, and a lot of people have woken up to that situation even in that country.
Yeah.
But
because I thought, like, you know, part of the Israeli population, mm-hmm. and not majority, but, like, there is a group that at least want to be able to coexist, as they say, mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. the Palestinian people without the conflict. Like, I don't think they all want it to be what it is right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's for sure an amount that
is. Yeah, there is. Probably just not a lot, though, honestly. Yeah. I think there's just a lot of propaganda that majority, like, they learned growing up that they just mm-hmm. can't see the other side, really.
A majority of the people who do know what they are doing to the Palestinian people are the ones who are going into the settler colonies, the mm-hmm. ones that are outside of the, I guess, like, the borders that they set down for is not real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the West Bank, like, those people, they know what they're doing. And there's, like, that classic video of that, like, American guy who has New Jersey accent.
The Brooklyn guy.
The Brooklyn guy who's literally, like, there as they're kicking the family out.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I don't steal it, someone else will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They know, and that's the mentality of a lot of these settlers, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is why it's hard to show sympathy towards them versus, like, the mm-hmm. people who may have been born in is not real in the, like, the mainland part, right? So there are definitely those who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But it did, you know, give me a little bit of joy to see that the boycotts and just the optics of the whole situation mm-hmm. have had a huge impact on their economy.
Mm-hmm. And of course it would. There are billions of Muslims. If technically, mm-hmm. like, and it's not just a Muslim issue, right? Mm-hmm. Like, of course, this is like a humanity issue. We've already made that clear in past episodes. Yeah. But if those that really know the truth and understand how wrong this is mm-hmm. truly banded together and like pushed aside all the like smaller details within mm-hmm. the politics, you know, look at the impacts of like Starbucks and McDonald's mm-hmm. and some of the other bigger corporations that have been like so severely impacted yeah. by the boycott. Like it clearly works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know, inshallah, I have even more I'm more sure now that we will see a free Palestine within our lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Inshallah.
Just from inshallah. Because at the end of the day, like we mentioned before, follow the money.
Mm. Yeah.
If there's no money in something, they're less likely to fight harder for sure. it, right? So we may not, or yeah, we as a people who are supporting the Palestinian people may not see it one the way that we thought it would be one, where it's like a complete ceasefire, you know, borders being broken down and all mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But the fact that the economy is going down will at least...
That's the first step.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It'll be some semblance of that.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm looking forward to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, do you guys have anything else to say before we end off here?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. Oh, yeah. Go out and go online. Check out Aisha's Amicole.
Buy the lip oil from Sephora or
Peaches. Amicole. Peaches colored?
Peachy nude.
Peachy nude.
It's called Happy.
Lip oil. Happy. Lip oil.
There you go.
And yeah, go ahead and support her on that. And also, if you liked our video or like our podcast.
I noticed you guys are inching closer to 10K.
I know.
We're getting there. Oh, yeah. The response to the last video was huge.
Yeah, you guys like really just showed up and showed out for mm-hmm. Hanan. And
yeah,
she definitely was a good episode.
It. Yeah. I really enjoyed recording that. And I think mm-hmm. she did too.
Yeah,
and
that
I
was
think
a great episode.
A lot of you guys shared your thoughts on like. Mm-hmm. The conversation around premarital counseling. Some people
there are a lot of people who didn't know about it. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And yeah. so Hanan shared the link that you guys used to find the
yeah check that on the link from the last episode too. Mm-hmm. If you're looking into that or just something to have in your back pocket when mm-hmm. when that time does come. But yeah, for any future episodes where we'll be continuing to talk about topics like this, make sure to subscribe to the channel. You know, follow us on our pages, Instagram, TikTok, Cousin Connection Pod.
Yes, because we also have some exciting things coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. if you want to hear about it first, make sure you follow us on Instagram.
Actually coming in like the next couple months.
Yes. So yeah, like we're not lying this time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's in the works already.
And we might be able to do another official Cousin Connection podcast.
Yeah.
Very soon. Mm-hmm. I might be able to get these guys out to finally visit me again. It's been 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Two like, years.
That LA trip is always going to be like top.
I know.
Top.
Oh, yeah.
That was my favorite trip.
That was very fun. Yeah. We'll try to double
back on
it.
We'll have a plus one this time.
I know.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can't wait.
Well, yeah. Again, make sure to subscribe. Mm-hmm. Follow us on all platforms. And yes. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.